Well, Shabbat Shalom. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. With that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into this week's teaching. You know, this week's teaching, we were in Numbers chapter 25. We're reading through Numbers chapter 30, and I have picked out a portion here in Numbers chapter 28, which talks about the daily offering. So let's go ahead and read that passage here. That is going to be Numbers chapter 28 and verse 1. It says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Command the people of Israel and say to them, My offering, my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time. And you shall say to them, This is the food offering that you shall offer to Yahweh, two male lambs, a year old, without blemish, day by day as a regular offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with a quarter of a hin of beaten oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to Yahweh. Its drink offering shall be a quarter of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to Yahweh. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, like the grain offering of the morning, and like his drink offering, you shall offer it as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to Yahweh. So here we see in the law, we see a place where Yahweh is providing them with the instructions regarding a daily sacrifice that he requires of the children of Israel to bring unto him. Or you could say all of his children. His desire is for his children to bring to him a daily sacrifice. Now, we, as part of the new covenant, we bring a different type, a daily sacrifice unto the Almighty. We no longer are offering a burnt offering. We do not have an altar that we are offering our sacrifices on. But as the scripture says, the bulls of our lips, so the praises of our lips, the thanksgiving, the words mentioned of thanksgiving, giving thanks unto him, is a sacrifice unto him. So daily, we should be bringing him the bulls of our lips. So we should be daily bringing him thanksgiving, giving him thanks. We should daily be bringing him praise from our lips. And Paul would also say in Romans to let our bodies be a living sacrifice unto him. So as they were to bring a daily offering, and somebody's offerings was a burnt offering, the purpose of it was merely just to draw near unto the Almighty. So we are to bring that burnt offering. We are to draw near unto him on a daily basis. And of course, the priests would have to cleanse themselves of their sin on a daily basis. Now, we know that when Yeshua died upon that cross, he took away the need of the daily removal of sins. His death upon that cross, when his blood was shed, our sin was dealt with once and for all. So we as believers in Yeshua, we have no need for a daily sacrifice for our sin that has been done, that has been taken care of. But the purpose and the desire of the Almighty for us to draw near unto him is still there. He still desires for us as believers in him to draw near unto him on a daily basis. So let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so what is Paul saying here? He's saying, I appeal to you, I'm asking you, I'm coming with a strong conviction, asking you as fellow believers in the Almighty, in Yeshua, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not that we are to sacrifice our bodies, to kill ourselves, to draw near unto him. Not that we are to mutilate our bodies in any way to draw near unto him, as some do in other pagan religions, okay? but you are to come as a living sacrifice. So what you are doing, how you live your life, can be a sacrifice unto the Almighty. So we are to do that in a way that is holy, or you could say that is set apart, and what is acceptable unto him. So in order to be that living sacrifice, in order to draw near unto him, and in order for that sacrifice to be accepted to him, be acceptable unto him, we need to do what is acceptable unto him. And that is the very purpose of why he has given us his law. The Torah was not given unto us as a means of salvation. We do not follow the Torah. We do not try to perfectly uphold the Torah in order to obtain salvation. But it was his instructions given unto us so that we could live our lives in a way that was acceptable unto him. So our worship would be acceptable unto him. So how do we live a life that is acceptable, that is worthy of being a living sacrifice unto him? It is by following the very words that he has given us to do, by following his Torah. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So how do we bring this spiritual worship that Paul called it, right? We're bringing a spiritual worship. We're not actually bringing a worship, a sacrifice on an actual physical altar. We're bringing a spiritual worship. How do we bring that, which is set apart and acceptable unto him? By not being conformed to the world. When we live our lives in obedience to his Torah, we will live a life that is not conformed to this world. We will be set apart from the world. That is what the Torah does. It sets you apart from the world. Okay? He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So we need to not be concerned with being conformed to the world, but being transformed into the image of Yeshua, becoming like Yeshua. Yeshua lived a perfect and sinless life. He obeyed the Torah perfectly. And we have been told to live just as he lived, to walk just as he walked. So as he walked in obedience to the Torah, we should walk in obedience to the Torah. As Yeshua lived a life that was set apart from the world, he lived a life that was perfectly acceptable to his Father, perfectly pleasing unto his Father. He did the will of his Father. That is our goal, is to be transformed into that, to live a life that is perfectly in line with the will of God, doing his will, seeking his desires and his commands and his words, and not our own, not trying to be conformed into this world. And by being transformed by the renewal of our mind, so we obtain this by learning his word and planting his word within our hearts and within our minds, developing a new way of thinking, thinking like him instead of thinking like the world. It starts within our minds, within our hearts. It starts from the inside and it flows out. And as our mind begins to be taught the things of God, taught his ways, taught his Torah, the instructions he has given us on how to live our lives, then we will find ourselves in a place where we can begin to discern what is the will of God. We will begin to be able to tell what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Because our goal should be, as a believer, should be to live a daily sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice unto our God, and to know what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. And not only to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect, but to do what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let's jump down to verse 9. Paul says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. So let our love for our master, let our love for Yeshua, let our love for our Heavenly Father, the Almighty Yahweh, be genuine. Let it be true. Let it not be fake. let it not be with hypocrisy, okay? But let it be true or genuine, or you can say perfect with him. And how do we obtain a genuine love for him? He says to abhor what is evil. It's interesting when you dive into that meaning, that Greek word, and you see that that word there, it means more than just to hate something. It also means to depart. So we are called to hate what is evil and to depart from what is evil. Okay, so the sin that is in our life, the things that we have, the desires that we have, the things of our flesh that do not line up with his word, with the instructions he has given us, we are to learn to develop a hate for that sin, for that which is contrary to his word, a hate that is so intense that it would cause us to depart from it. See, if you have a sin that you do not have a desire to depart from it, then you do not hate it. You love it. It is your pet. And so it becomes a compromise in our lives. And so then it prevents us from being that perfect sacrifice unto the Almighty when we hold on to that which is not perfect, that which is not good. So we have to learn how to fight our flesh so we're able to hold fast to what is good. And what is good? His instructions are good. Paul tells us in Romans that his law is perfect. His law is good. It is righteous. It is holy. It is set apart. So hold fast to his law. Hold fast to the instructions he has given us on how to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Let's look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 and see what Yeshua says on the means of us as believers doing something on a daily basis. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So Yeshua is telling us, if we want to follow him, if we want to be his disciples, we need to learn how to take up our cross daily. And in order to take up our cross daily, we have to learn how to deny ourselves. Okay, so we talked about how Paul is calling us to be a living sacrifice, to do that which is acceptable, pleasing unto the Almighty. Yeshua is telling us that we need to deny ourselves. So not being conformed to the world, deny ourselves. So deny the temptations of our flesh, because inside of each and every single one of us, we have a flesh that desires to walk contrary to the commands that was given unto us by the Almighty. So we as disciples of Yeshua need to deny our flesh and we need to take up our cross daily. That means to die to ourselves daily. Die to the fleshly desires. Die to the desire to be conformed unto the world and to live in him or to become transformed into his image. Okay, if we seek our own desires, if we seek to save our life, to do what we want to do, we will lose our lives. We cannot live for our flesh and expect not to die. We'll get into that here, Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. So here Paul is saying the law, or you could say the Torah, the instructions that was given unto us by the Almighty is spiritual. He says, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. So when it comes to walking in obedience to his word, to the instructions and the commands he has given unto us, where does the problem lie? Does the problem lie within the law, or does the problem lie within us? Paul saying the problem lies within me because I have this flesh. I have these fleshly desires that wage war against the Torah of God. It does not want to submit itself to God's law, to his commands. It wants to do its own thing. And we can all thank Adam for that. So let's look at verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So Paul's getting into this struggle that we all can identify with as believers in Yeshua. Because now that we have become a believer in Yeshua, he has put his spirit inside of us. And by putting his spirit inside of us, he has actually placed the Torah of God in our hearts. And so there is something inside of us now that has a desire to submit itself to God's law. But there's also a part of our being that is fleshly, that is warring against that Torah, that does not want to submit itself to the Torah. So these two things are at war with each other. And we will experience this war and this battle for as long as we live in this carnal body and we are on this earth in this carnal body. We will not get a break or a relief from this battle, from this war, until this body of corruption puts on incorruption. So every believer out there, we just need to know and be ready that each and every single day that we wake up, we are in a war against our flesh. And that is why Yeshua said, daily you need to take up your cross. Daily you need to die to your flesh. There is not a day that you will wake up where you will not have to consciously be sober, be aware, be alert, and be on guard fighting against your flesh. Every day you got to wake up ready to wage war against your flesh and to die unto your flesh. So as they were commanded to daily bring that offering, daily we need to be fighting our flesh. Let's look at verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies at hand. So let's start here with what Paul's saying here in verse 18. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. So what is our flesh? That which we have that is separate from what his spirit that he has placed inside of us, there is nothing good that dwells within our flesh. Nothing. There is nothing about our flesh that desires to please God. If there's anything in you, any thought, any desire to please God, it is there because of his spirit residing inside of you. But within our flesh, there is nothing good that dwells inside of us. And in our flesh, we do not have the ability to carry out that which is right. He says, I have the desire to do what is right because of the spirit being inside of him. Okay. But his flesh is unable to carry out that. We cannot, in our flesh, in our ability, in our strength, walk as a living sacrifice unto God. We will not please him. We will not know what is pleasing unto him. We will not know what that which is good. We will not live a life that is set apart. We cannot die to our flesh on a daily basis in the strength of our own flesh. We have to have the help of his spirit. It is by his spirit that we are able to walk it out. And we're going to get into that later here with Paul. But in our flesh, we cannot obtain this. It cannot be done. He says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Yeshua, Messiah, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So what Paul is saying here is my mind has the desire to serve the law of God. So think about this here. Paul is not saying the law of God is evil. He's not saying the law of God is bad. Again, remember, the law of God is not the problem. The problem is our flesh. His mind has a desire to serve the law of God. In his mind, he's serving God. He's serving the Torah. And that is his desire. That is his purpose. That is what he is wanting to do. But he is finding in his flesh that he's serving the law of sin. So even though his mind has a desire to do that which is right and pleasing unto God, his flesh is actually doing the opposite. He is finding himself actually doing that which is not pleasing unto God because of his flesh. And the previous scripture, he says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies at hand, meaning temptation lies at hand. When we desire to do that isn't right, when we desire to seek his purpose and to be that living sacrifice, temptation doesn't just say, oh, look, he wants to do what's right. Let me go along my merry way. It doesn't. Temptation stays. Temptation's still there. So even though you have the desire to do what is right, temptation will still be near. Temptation will still be there. So part of maturing as a believer in Yeshua is learning how to overcome that temptation, learning how to die to that temptation, as Yeshua said, take up your cross. So we got to learn how to die to that temptation. Now, Yeshua is our helpmate. He is our high priest who can empathize with us with where we are, because he has gone through and walked and faced every temptation that we will face and that we are facing. And he overcame those temptations. So by developing our relationship with him and by the help of the Spirit and relying upon him, we can walk as Yeshua walked. And we can overcome the temptations just as Yeshua overcame those temptations. So we can move beyond the, I want to serve God, but my flesh is doing contrary. Now, we will never get it perfect again until this body of corruption puts on incorruption. But that does not give us an excuse to continue to purposefully walk in sin and to serve our flesh. Because if we continue to purposefully serve our flesh and we just give up and say, I'm just going to live according to my flesh because I can't defeat my flesh, then we're going to reap the fruits of serving our flesh. And we're going to get into that here in a bit as well. So let's go ahead and look at Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. So number one, the first solution to this whole problem is to be one who is found in Yeshua Messiah. What does that mean? It means that we profess Yeshua as our Redeemer. We believe that he died upon that cross for us. His blood was shed upon that cross for us. He rose on the third day, and that only by his blood is there a removal of sin. So we put our faith and our trust in Yeshua as the Messiah, as our Redeemer. Okay? And so for those who have that belief in him, there is no condemnation. Now, it doesn't mean that we just put our belief in Yeshua and we continue to do as we please and walk in the flesh, because that's not the purpose of it. He has come and he has done that action so that we are no longer held enslaved to our flesh, and we can become set free from our flesh, and we can begin to do that which is well-pleasing unto God. Let's look at verse 2. For the law of spirit of life has set you free in Messiah Yeshua from the law of sin and death. Okay, so by putting our faith in Yeshua, now his spirit is placed inside of us, and there's this law that's at work regarding this spirit. And that law regarding the Spirit is to those who have the Spirit of God has been set free from the law of sin and death. So there's a law that pertains to sin and death, and that is that those who walk in sin, those who practice sin, will achieve, or their payment will be death. So if you are found to be in the Spirit, you are free from that law saying because you have sinned, you will die. Now we can inherit eternal life. Okay, so we're free from that law. Let's look at verse 3. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So what Paul's saying is the law could not defeat sin. Okay, God gave us his Torah. He gave us his commands, his instructions on how we can please him. But what the Torah is incapable of doing is to change a person. The Torah cannot cause you and make you or give you a desire to submit yourself to it. It can't do that. Only one can do that, and that is the work of Yeshua. By him coming and dying upon that cross, those who put their belief in him now can have their flesh crucified. Their flesh can be put to death. That sinful flesh, it has been condemned. It has been defeated so that we can walk according to the law or the Torah. It is by the work of Yeshua that we can walk in obedience to his word. So to any person who would try to obtain walking in obedience to the law of God without belief in Yeshua are setting themselves up for failure. You cannot do it, and you will never be able to do it, and you will still be under the law of sin and death. So look at verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So one of the purposes of his death was to condemn our fleshly nature so that we could fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. That is why he died. His death was not to put aside the law. It was not to end the law, but it was so that we as believers could actually fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. That was the purpose of his death. So through his death, we obtain salvation. We obtain justification. We are justified. We are forgiven of our sins. They were atoned for. They are covered over. But also sin is defeated in our lives so that we can do that which is well-pleasing unto our Father, so that we can be that living sacrifice unto God. But we as believers still have to take our role, and that is every day to wake up and to die to our flesh. We have to engage in the battle. We have to engage and know, and part of engaging in the battle is to understand and walk in the fact that our flesh has been defeated, that everything we need to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law lies inside of us with his Spirit. So it's us learning how to do that. It's learning how to walk in his Spirit instead of walking in our flesh. Now let's look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're going to be a believer who thinks that because I believe in Yeshua and I profess him as my Lord and Savior, that I can just continue to walk in my flesh because my sins are forgiven me, you're mistaken. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And the key to being a person who walks in the Spirit and not according to the flesh is by setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. If we set our minds on the things of the flesh, we will walk in the flesh, and our mind is hostile to God, or it is an enemy of God, and therefore it will not submit itself to God's law. So the fleshly mind that is thinking about the things of the world, that is thinking about the desires of its flesh, is actually waging war against God. It's waging war against God's law, against his Torah. We need to learn how to set our minds on the things of the Spirit so that we're no longer waging war against God and his law, but we are now in a spot where we can submit ourselves to his law and we can walk in that which is well-pleasing unto him. And when we set our mind on the things of the Spirit, what do we get? Life and peace. But to those who set their minds on the flesh, death. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Messiah does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So what is Paul saying here? If you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if you're walking according to the Spirit, if your mind is set upon the things of the Spirit, you're submitting to the Spirit, you're submitting to God's law, you're walking in obedience to his Torah, his instructions that he has given us, instead of walking according to our flesh, instead of walking according to how the world walks, okay, his Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. His Spirit will awaken, okay? So he has killed our flesh, the fleshly desires. That's part of his death upon the cross. His resurrection speaks of the fact that he gives life unto us as a believer. And that life is his Spirit living inside of us, giving us this ability to, in fact, be one who can walk according to his Spirit. Okay. So his Spirit now gives life to our, our being, to walk in righteousness, so that we can be a son of God. We can be his. It is done by his Spirit working inside of us, quickening, bringing to life a desire for righteousness, the ability for righteousness, the power to walk in righteousness, awakening his law within our hearts, in our minds, and not just giving us a desire to do it, but also causing our flesh and our bodies to actually do it and to follow it and to no longer walk according to our flesh. If his Spirit dwells in us, these are the things that happen. He quickens us. He awakens us to his righteousness. And we walk in his righteousness and we walk in his obedience because of what he has done, not because of what we have done. We have absolutely nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. It's all upon him and what he has done for us. Let's look at verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we are not debtors to the body, into the flesh. We are not debtors to our flesh anymore. We have been called to live according to his Spirit. We have put to death the deeds of the body, or we have put to death the deeds of our flesh. And if you do that, you will live. If you die daily, you will live. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So here's the blessing. For those who are being led by his Spirit, who are doing that which is right, to those, they can cry out, Abba, Father. They have been adopted by the Heavenly Father. And you have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, or you could say to fall back into sin either, to walk according to the flesh. But we can cry out, Abba, Father, to those who are being led by his Spirit, who are dying to our flesh on a daily basis. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Messiah, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So think about this. Paul is saying, if we will suffer in him, then we will be glorified in him. I take this right in line when Yeshua is talking about, if you're going to be my disciples, then you're going to have to take up your cross daily. If we're willing to suffer, if we're willing to put our flesh to death, if we're willing to die to our flesh on a daily basis, abstain from that which seems pleasurable, the pleasures of sin, then we will be glorified with him. There's a day coming where we will experience his full glory. Because there is nothing, the suffering that we will go through and dying to our flesh every day right now, to rejecting the pleasures of sin, is not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed to us in the future. That is something for us to look forward to. That is something that should be on our minds every single day. Not living for this moment, not living for this time, but living for the glory that is to be revealed in the future. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you. We will be back again next week with a teaching from next week's Torah portion. So we hope that you come back and join us again. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.